comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Nerd Rage. Nerd Rage. Now here are the nerds.
Welcome to The Nerd Show, Nerdians.
I thought it was Happy Nerds Day.
Happy Nerds Day, Nerdians. This week I am not Darthus Binkus.
No, you are not. You have relinquished that title because you have redeemed yourself, so to speak.
I was just like Dumb and Dumber and totally redeemed yourself.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Well, welcome to The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. We are in the Aloe Fiber Studios with Scott, Micah, special guest Swader, and me, Nick.
Yes.
We're also known as Darth Monger, Darth Ambivalous, Darth
Darth Harmonic.
I made one for you last night, Swader.
Blue suede shoes.
Darth Blue Suede Shoes.
I like it. All right, we've got so much to discuss. It's going to be a heavy Star Wars-focused week because we got The Mandalorian from last week. We had Star Wars Celebration this past weekend in England, and then we'll talk about Picard at the end. But, wow, first off, I loved the cameos. The cameos this past week were phenomenal. For Doc Brown to be in Star Wars was just fantastic.
I know him as Uncle Fester.
Yep, he was Uncle Fester. He was also
Great Scott.
Yeah, but my favorite of Christopher Lloyd's is always going to be his thing in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I don't think I've seen that.
He was the bad guy in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
He was a bad guy. You ruined it for me.
It's fantastic.
Gosh, and we had Jack Black, which was fantastic, and Lizzo. I don't think I've ever seen Lizzo before, but Lizzo, which was very controversial with fans on Twitter, and I am so glad that I actually trolled a troll a little bit.
You did.
Because Star Wars fans who don't appreciate what's going on, for furthering the story, yeah, it was a little weird episode, but guess what? So was Canto Bite. That was a weird moment in Episode 8. There are a lot of things that we can nitpick.
That was a dumb moment, too.
Well, yeah.
Why did people not like Lizzo there?
Well, first of all, she wasn't the greatest actress. But, I mean,
well, neither was Jack
costume
Black. He was awful in this episode.
He was very flamboyant and fun. But you know what makes my heart just so happy is when she got the call to do this, she cried for an entire day. An entire day of excitement.
Yeah, and I have a feeling she's probably being a little bit excessive in her expression. I'm sure that it was a long day of that, but I do too. I like the idea. And we were talking about it on the way over to the studio as you and I and Eric were walking over, and it's like these cameos are designed to be a one-shot deal. This is a one episode. These are not recurring characters that we're going to see. And I don't mind it being these stars that we see from other walks of life that do some of this stuff. And you know what? It was fun. It gave you a little bit of an Alice in Wonderland kind of feel and some other elements of that. But it was fun and it was enjoyable. And I liked that part of it. And again, everything that happened helped to further the story. It got us closer to what we need to know about Din Djarin and Bo-Katan and the Mandalorians and Mandalore and even, you know, a few other things. So.
Well, and I mean, they're in their Outer Rim. No one really knew what they were. There were so many throwbacks. And I like the tease. Oh, it's just like a new Mandalore because they're going to see the Mandalorians. But clearly, they have this planned out. They had to add an element. And I love the whole droids being, corrupted and dangerous because, you know, Din's disappreciation of droids. But first of all, I want to shout out to people who are upset about Lizzo being on there. I assume you might just be fans of Star Wars and are so devastated that they didn't invite you to be on Star Wars, but just some perspective. Scott and I actually did the Star Wars.
We've done Star Wars, and we can't talk about the Star Wars that we've done.
Exactly.
So, but if you know, you know. And so, yeah, we can't even talk about it.
Yeah.
It was so cool, we can't even discuss it.
16.
20.
Nice.
And again, if you know what that means, then you know what that means, and we appreciate you do.
Happy 10-year anniversary, Scott.
Happy 10-year anniversary, Nick.
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
I wonder what Universal Studios is like this time of year.
I need tours that were trending on Twitter about 10 years ago?
Might have been. Okay.
Oh, man.
Anywho. Well, but I also want to say I appreciated how we got to kind of see Axe Wolves, and we got to see Koska Reeves again, and we get to see what they're doing with the fleet that Bo-Katan had helped to create.
It was an impressive fleet, too.
It was. And then you get the Corrin, and you get the Mon Calamari that are, you know, kind of, they're normally afraid of, they don't like one another, but they have now decided that, these two are in love. And, I like the way that they do it. And they say, we are honorable as long as you've got enough credits. And then you kind of, and then they make the comment, we've got a contract waiting for us on, Plaxir 15. And so we see what they're doing, where they're going, and I think it sets up the end of the episode beautifully.
Oh, it does. And that was a great, I love the Corrin ships.
Yeah.
And, the whole inverse of being fed a little fish martini and, because they are an aquatic species, both the Corrin and Mon Calamari. But these Mandalorians aren't violent. They could have turned that way if there was going to be a fight. But I like how they're not malicious murderers.
Yeah.
Swader. Sorry.
No, I was going to say I might have blacked out for quite a bit of the episode because Lizzo is my favorite musical artist, and I was kind of just like staring the whole time like, oh my God, she's in Star Wars. So I kind of forgot most of what happened after that.
Her outfit was fascinating.
Oh,
I'm not
it was
much
so
of a
cool.
costume person. I was attracted to the music, of course, and it's very ominous. Like, what's going to happen? They're kind of taken, and then it just transitions to flutes.
Yes.
When because Lizzo plays the flute, and I just the thought process is just so pure. They think of really everything.
Yeah, they really do.
Although in Ahsoka, did you guys see that there was another stage lights and stuff that weren't taken out from the trailer? Oh, it's funny.
I did not.
Anyway, so we get these fun little side gig of these evil droids with Christopher Lloyd ending up being the bad guy. That's also something people are upset with is the white guy was the bad guy. This isn't my Star Wars.
No, I was upset that the bad guy was so obvious.
Well, not only obvious, but it was like he was so separatist. He was all, obviously he got him from the Techno Union. He referenced Count Dooku, and he's going to do all this. And then when he walks up after they've caught him, he's like, it's true, m'lady. I'm sorry I've disappointed you. And I was just like,
can you ever forgive
me? It was just overly opulent. And I know that they said that in the credits it was an opulent world. But it just, to me, it was like, that's the one part of the whole story that I would have liked to have seen change. If there would have been, he made reference that the planet was unrecognizable since, Jack Black's character had shown up. But to just stick in that moment and that mindset for a little bit, he was too passive. He was too, I regret my actions. And he's literally going to turn every droid in the city back into battle droids, but yet now he's repentant of his actions, and I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I just, that part I could have done without.
Okay, I have two things. One, I don't know why the hell you guys are wearing the same shirt. All three of you. Well, except for Monger, you're wearing like a gray version of their shirt.
Yep.
If I had known, I wouldn't have worn a dark shirt. I would have worn an orange bright shirt to be basically the opposite of you guys. And two, this was a really dumb episode. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
We knew that.
It was really, really goofy. I don't know. Maybe we just needed a change of pace, the kind of episode 8 where they go on a tangent and then go back to the main story. But it was like they smushed two episodes together where they didn't have enough content. So they're like, let's throw these two together. Peanut butter and cheese. I like to do that. But most people are like, peanut butter and cheese, those don't go together. It's like Favreau was like, I've got some peanut butter. I've got a lot of cheese. Let's just mush the two together. That'll make a great sandwich.
Well, looking at what Bo has been charged to do, she has to unite the Mandalorians. I expected the entire episode to be her rallying all these different clans, and I think that'd be too much too quickly.
Yeah.
So I like this being spaced out, and that the ending moment, I mean, the fight sequence with Bo-Katan and
Axe Wolves.
I said almost Keanu Reeves, was fantastic. I mean, it was good. And for this entire season, we know how badly Bo-Katan wants the Darksaber. How's it going to work? How is she going to get it? Is she going to fight Din? Is she getting in and kind of play the nice guy and then betray them? I don't know. But this was fantastic of, we do not accept you as this dysfunctional human who yeah. hasn't spoken a word yet. And really, people, do you think Din was actually going to lead Mandalore?
No.
Din is not a leader. I mean, not saying he's not a leader. He's inspirational. He's got really great, decent qualities. But Bo-Katan has led Mandalore like three different times and failed every single one.
And she's failed because she's done it under an incomplete set of pretenses.
Right.
And so the last time when we see her in Rebels, Sabine gives her the Darksaber. Mm-hmm. So she has not received it appropriately, and that's why that all fails. And so that's why she's really hesitant about it. But I love the way that it came out. And it's like, I'm giving this to you. And she's like, it's not a gift to be given because she's learned her lesson. And he's mm-hmm. like, it's not. And then he gets the rest of them
yeah.
to accept and acknowledge the way that he lost it and the way that she now is owed it. And mm-hmm. I will tell you, I'm watching the episode and he hands it to her and I'm sitting there going, just light it, just light it, just light it. And she lit the Darksaber and I got goosebumps and I watched it again and I had goosebumps second time around. So
I was hoping she would yell, I have the power.
No, we're not crossing those.
Maybe what have been ridiculous is the original concept for Luke Skywalker when he's holding the lightsaber over the head for the poster. Yeah. No, I think it was great. I love how they segued that in there. I thought it was an interesting episode, but overall, I liked it. I loved it. I mean, we're getting great story. It moved it, even though it was a goofy episode, it moved it so much more further.
And
I liked how they made the droids human of, hey, we're going to outlive all of you, and we want to try. Well, stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll explain why we are wearing matching shirts right after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice.
Can I just say, you had me at Battle Droids.
That's fantastic.
I love that line.
Oh, that's good. And if you forget that and why Battle Droids destroyed Din's
yes.
family, culture, homeland, yep. Home world. So.
Yeah, that's why he's not a fan of droids.
Exactly. But he did like IG-11.
But you were going to let Eric explain why we're wearing matching shirts in studio today.
How many times have we heard this already today? At least three times. Yeah, maybe more. And we've only seen six people.
And we've only been together for an hour.
When you've got three grown men wearing the same shirt, people ask. So, we have matching shirts because we are in an Axe League that we participate in once a week, and this is our uniform, so to speak. It's they're Super Nintendo shirts because our initials, we have a fourth member as well, spell out SNES, so that's our team name, so we wear the shirts.
There you go.
Stephanie, Nick, Eric, and Scott.
That's
SNES.
Right.
That's the order in which we throw. And for Halloween this year, we all wore fake mustaches and became Super Mario.
We were Mario, Wario,
Luigi,
and
I was Waluigi.
And you were Waluigi. That's right.
Scott, and when do you guys plan on seeing the movie?
No.
Damn it.
As soon as I can.
Yeah, soon.
So you're going to see the movie. Is it out already?
I don't think
yes,
so.
It
I think
is. It is.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
It is already?
I saw some friends who have little kids, and they went to see it.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll be seeing it soon, then.
Speaking of Rainbow Road, how'd you like that segue?
I see that.
My car, if I want to do automatic driving, autopilot, I've turned my lane into Rainbow Road.
Yes.
But I'm so glad I don't drive that way because Rainbow Road was a disaster for me playing. I would fall off the edges at least most of the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, gosh, Star Wars Celebration was this weekend. The first Star Wars Celebration was in Denver in 1997?
1999, which was right before episode one. And if I can make an early tease, we have an amazing special guest star coming on next week that is going to primarily speak about Picard, but will also be able to lend his experience to the Star Wars fandom universe as well as the Star Trek universe. And he was one of the key players of bringing Star Wars Celebration to Denver in 1999.
Are you saying he might have been an insider for that?
He might have been an insider in that. So, and we'll leave it at there. But hopefully next week you guys will join us and you'll get to hear all about our special guest star who might have been an insider.
Anyone who figures that out, text this number, and you might get a free swag bag of the business cards out front at KFKA, because I don't know if we have any other swag. But text this number.
Text 888-530-0043.
If you know who we're talking about.
That's right.
All right, celebration. I think the biggest thing I took away, and I could not keep up like Scott did. He's got his notebook. Great. The first, I guess, big announcement is three movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
Three movies.
And I think that they're great because they literally span the continuum.
Oh, yes.
We have
everything.
So one of the ones that was announced is we have Daisy Ridley back as Rey that is actually set 15 years in the future The Rise of Skywalker. And she is working to rebuild the Jedi Order. And she's fighting against the people that are trying to tear it down. It seems like every time we want to build something up, other people want to tear it down. And then it is being directed by Sharmeen Obad Chenran. I can't even read my own writing here, but I didn't do a lot of research on the director, but I think it's great. We're getting some people outside of the normal Star Wars universe that's doing this, so I think it's fantastic.
I know my fans are upset. Sorry to interrupt, Scott.
No.
That this is probably the story Luke deserved to have. Other than what we got in the sequels, and everyone's entitled to their opinions. Granted, the sequels are not my favorite and they're not my go-to. But I'm really excited for Rey. And the bummer is John Boyega was done so badly by Star Wars. He should have been a Jedi. He should have been a force sensitive, force using stormtrooper. And he has vowed to never do a Star Wars movie again, which I think is a bummer. Cause if there was some way, maybe he could work with Rey, but that's all right. I can't even say this is the way because it's. But no. Moving on, this is a. I'm excited for it. I really am. And we have.
And then we go the other direction where we go 25,000 years.
Shout out to Papa Tom, the OG Jedi.
We go all the way back to the origins of the Jedi and the Force, and so that's where we're probably going to hear a little bit more about Jeddah. I could see some of that stuff coming into it. But James Mayfield, or Maygold, sorry. Again, I can't read my own writing, but he is directing this film. And there's not a lot about it. But the great thing that I appreciate is there is so much content about the Old Republic, about the origins of the original Jedi and the Sith, and so many other things that they have to pull from that we are seeing since Dave and John have really started to become very involved with Lucasfilm, that they are doing this. They are utilizing the great content and resources that are out there to help build a great story instead of ignoring it and then starting all over from scratch. So I love that they're doing that. And then the third one,
which is the first that's ever been done this way. So if you all remember the big Marvel Avengers series of 20-some movies plus to culminate in the Avengers, we're getting that, but with live-action TV series translating to a movie.
And you're talking about Dave Filoni's film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which the Mandoverse is coming together. Yep. And I think that's everything from this, from Ahsoka, maybe even, the Book of Boba Fett.
Yep.
And possibly, what's that one that's coming out soon? The Skeleton Crew. Because
Skeleton Crew.
Vane, the coward pirate who left the battle in the last episode, two episodes ago, is in Skeleton Crew. So, I mean, this whole Mandoverse is I can't wait. And I'm glad they're doing it in a movie. I think that'll be really trying to do that on the show. We've gotten teasers, of course, of Ahsoka already. We've got teasers of Thrawn, which we'll get into in a second when we talk about Ahsoka. A movie, Dave Filoni. And Dave Filoni is every Star Wars fan should thank Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau.
Definitely.
They are the only reason Star Wars is amazing.
Not the only, but
you know what I mean.
This is the way.
They are the reason.
They've definitely made it. And I love how they met. And you go back to their origin story.
I don't even know how they met.
So they met actually when Jon Favreau was at Skywalker Ranch doing sound recordings for Iron Man. So this goes all the way back to this.
We were at Skywalker Ranch. We weren't doing sound recordings for Iron Man. But
no, we are not. But we have been there. Yes. But Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau got a chance to meet, and I don't know all the details of the story, but basically at some point in time, Dave gave John an opportunity to see some of the stuff he was working on. John showed Dave some of the stuff he was working on. John had indicated how much he would love to be a part of the Star Wars universe. And for those that remember, John Favreau was the voice of Paz Vizsla in the Rebels series that came out when they or maybe it was Clone Wars, but when they
I think
did
it was Rebels.
Yeah, when they did Paz Vizsla, that was Jon Favreau's voice. And so they got connected. They've
and
stayed
it's
connected.
And Paz his voice in Mando, too.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've stuck with that, and they've done some amazing things. But they have just leaned in and become fans. And, you know, people were showing clips at Celebration where, you know, Favreau broke down in tears at one point in time during the interviews because it's like, this is what he loves to do. He lives for this. He is like, you know, he's like George's long lost son.
Yeah.
And we're all getting to see what that is going to look like in this next generation and this next iteration of Star Wars. And I think for fans, it's just some of the greatest things that we could ask for.
It is absolutely the best time right now to be a Star Wars fan. And I've had this conversation with folks. I loved the Marvel movies. I loved the Avengers saga. But I'm not really sold on what Marvel's doing now because you tapped into an entire generation over 12 years of a story. And those people are now busy. I mean, but Star Wars now is finally coming into its own with fantastic content and storytelling and really starting to pull from some non-canon material. I mean, Grand Admiral Thrawn, for example, and Timothy Zahn.
Oh, we got to talk about that next segment.
Yeah, so this is the best time to be a Star Wars fan, and so grateful for Dave and John. And I'll let you know, we have a great guest next week, but we are going to try desperately to get John and Dave on the show someday.
I love that.
We'll
keep trying.
We need more fans. Share this with people. We're going to get them on.
It's going to happen.
Stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show as we celebrate all the amazing things that have come from Star Wars Celebration. You know, I'm not much of a convention person, and I can't imagine the fandom at a Celebration, Scott.
Well,
and you've been there.
I've been to all but one in the United States, and so I enjoy them. I have a lot of fun. There's great opportunities to get there and get that, but they have... You know, they continue to keep upping the ante, and they make it better, and they make it more interactive, and they make it more enjoyable. And they use these events to really drop a lot of the things that are coming up. Mm-hmm. We talked about that in the last segment. And I think for most Star Wars fans, the most anticipated thing or elements that was coming out of Celebration was updates about the Ahsoka series that is getting ready to release later this year. And I will tell you, I was just excited as everybody else. I watched the trailer probably a half a dozen times. And, you know, in my notes, I think about, you know, we get a live action, you know, we see the live action Ahsoka already. We've seen the live action Zeb in Mandalorian.
We got a live action Chopper.
We got a live action a Chopper. We get a live action Hera. We get a live action Sabine. We get a live action Ezra. We knew some of those were coming.
And then the best one, I got goosebumps
right
now.
And then we get the live action Thrawn.
Only from the back we saw.
Only from the back, but they announced who it is.
This is the best.
And
this
I
is
love
the best
because
it's been speculation forever.
And Lars Mikkelsen, who is the brother of Mads Mikkelsen, who was Galen Erso in Rogue One, who voiced Thrawn
in Star Wars Rebels.
In Star Wars Rebels, is going to be back to that. And for me, where I lost my mind was watching that trailer, and she's talking to what we assume to be the New Republic Council or whatever else. She goes, I'm hearing rumblings of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire. And I absolutely lost it. I jumped out of my skin because for those of us who have been involved in this and reading it for so long, in 1991, Timothy Zahn released the book Heir to the Empire, which is where Grand Admiral Thrawn as a character was originally reduced. Timothy Zahn has been acknowledged and recognized by most true Star Wars fans of resurrecting the Star Wars fandom in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And it is so great. And I think for me, knowing that they are consulting with Tim through the series, and I saw that in one of the interviews that they did, that they are constantly, they have consulted and they are continuing to consult with Tim Zahn on how they craft and how they developed and how they cast and how they show this character of Thrawn. And it just, it's...
He is probably the most exciting. I mean, I was excited to see a live action Cad Bane in the Book of Boba Fett. And ever since Ahsoka mentions to the Magistrate, "Where's your leader? Where's Grand Admiral Thrawn?" I have been waiting, just so excited to see him. And if you haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, it's fantastic. Take a look, but you see what happens to Thrawn and Ezra toward the series finale. But with this, I mean, I'm going to just surmise. We already are seeing the creation of the First Order. We know Moff Gideon is out there. I think Thrawn is not really looking for the Empire. He's looking, hopefully, for the Chiss to come into the Midrim and start taking over, because the latest books indicate that Thrawn wanted to join the Empire to kind of see where their weaknesses were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we have the Empire being rebuilt in the Unknown Regions, that's where the Chiss thrive. And they weren't in the sequel trilogy. So I'm just speculating here that Thrawn will be the big baddie, and the Chiss will be the big baddies, and that's how the First Order can continue to grow and manipulate on the Outer Rim, and if essentially the Chiss may be defeated, and that's why he's not in the sequels.
I don't think they were thinking that far ahead, to be honest with you. I appreciate
this is why they should consult us.
I know. I appreciate your potential and your thought process, but I don't think they were thinking that far ahead. I don't think that Thrawn was anywhere on their radar screen, even though it is a great story. And I think they are going to alter a number of things throughout that book series in order to work with what they've got. But they've got a great opportunity there. One of the other great things that we're seeing is also that we get David Tennant back.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the voice of Hurong, which was an old Jedi droid that helped with the Jedi Padawans as they were going through it. And so we get him back as well. And
he was
so,
in the episode Ahsoka took the Padawans to get their lightsabers from Ilum. Ilum is a rich Kyber crystal planet that ended up being Starkiller Base.
So we get that. So, again, it was great stuff. We saw stuff about the Acolyte that's coming out. Apparently, that's going to be a mix of Frozen and Kill Bill. That's how it's being described. Really, yeah, the look on your face is exactly what I was thinking. And then
when I read that, I can picture it.
Yeah.
I see it. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Let it go, and then
I'm hoping it's not a musical.
Well, it's the first Jedi, right? So probably doesn't even understand the Force or using powers or anything.
The Acolyte's only, what, 100 years before the events of Yavin? A couple hundred years,
so it's High Republic.
So Yoda's around.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they were going farther back than that.
That's what the movie's going to be, though.
Is it going to be a musical? Because Let It Go is a...
Well, Frozen was not a musical, but they did a...
Yeah, no, but there was a lot of singing.
There was. So.
I watched it with my niece when she was three, so obviously I didn't actually see the movie. I just heard a three-year-old's commentary.
Sure.
Let It Go, Micah. See what I did there?
I did. But then you have Skeleton Crew, which is supposed to be Goonies in space, which again, we talked a little bit about. We could see how that works out. We also found out next year in August, we get season 2 of Andor.
Next year, in August.
Yeah,
okay.
So super excited about that. They had all the original cast, and they're talking about they're still going to be. So we're, you know, my son will appreciate that Deidre will be back, and he really likes her character.
Oh, gosh. So does he like a very dominant?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bossed around?
Yeah, I don't know about boss around, but I think a strong, dominant type is probably it. But then even from the animation side, we get Tales of the Jedi Season 2. That's coming.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
So that'll be good.
Visions Season 2.
And I can just say that looks way better than Season 1. And there's snowtroopers in Season 2 of Visions. Bad Batch is getting a Season 3, which
Badge
is great. Bad Batch. I know I messed up my words.
That's
there,
all right.
So I'm sorry.
Remember, he can't read his notes.
That's fair.
I'm having a hard time doing that. And then we get Cal Kestis back in the new Jedi Survivor series. So,
oh, wait. Yeah. A game or a...
Yeah, it's a video game. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a great series. My son Hunter loves that game. And then they kind of dropped for everybody that the next celebration will be in 2 years and it'll be in Japan. So that was kind of that's how they end all the celebrations is we will see you again in X number of years at X location. And so they announced at the end that it'll be in Japan in 2025. So
I'm going to say I'm going because I just got back from Japan and I loved it. But it's weird that they're doing two international back to back.
Not necessarily. You think about they did all of the, I think they did 4 or 5 celebrations all in the U.S. Before they even did the very first Europe one. So I'm not overly surprised. And I think that we're learning that there's a bigger Star Wars fandom outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. and they're going international and they've got a great opportunity like with Visions and some of the other stuff to do that. We found out that Jonas, who was the guy who did the body work for Chewbacca in the last Star Wars movies, who's kind of taken over for Peter Mayhew. God rest his soul. Mm. He's actually going to be playing a Wookiee Jedi Master in The Acolyte.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I was excited for that.
So that's really cool.
Wow. So does every Jedi at that time know how to speak Wookiee?
Shirook, you mean?
Well done, Micah.
Well done. That was good.
That was the Wookiee sat on a nail. Yeah.
That was perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
If
such
only it
great...
would have been on in a microphone so we could have heard it. That would have been even better.
I hope they might have from the mics in here.
I did growl pretty loudly.
You did. That was good.
I think what I said, if my translation is correct, is go Broncos.
That's probably true.
All right. When we cut back, we're going to do our best Wookiee impressions before we talk Picard.
Perfect.
So we're going to practice in this break. Stay tuned.
Awesome. That was really good. I will translate for those of you who don't know, who can't speak Shirook, that was welcome back to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. Yeah, so he's doing good. So
that was bite me.
I told him where to, but
we can't say that on air.
Bite his shiny metal.
Okay, easy there, 3PO. All right, Swader, you got a Wookiee for us?
Do you got a Wookiee in you?
Go ahead, embarrass yourself.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Not bad.
All right, Micah.
I already did mine.
No. Nobody heard
Come
it. Come on, Micah. Come on, Micah. Give us a Wookiee.
I used to have a pre-recorded one, but I don't.
Well, go with what you got.
Hang on.
He's trying to set one up.
You started this whole thing, Micah.
I know.
I'm looking for one.
Yeah, uh-huh. You all know what he's doing, right? He's cheating.
He is cheating.
I am cheating. Well, I have the sound effects.
He's the producer. He's got all the sound effects.
He does. Is that?
I'm not very good at it.
Dang it.
That's all right.
I told you.
I got one.
No!
And that's our transition into Picard.
Yeah, because that was terrible.
Before that, though, the best... any people who are recently single that might have been wronged by your ex, one of the best pranks I've ever seen, and this circulated on Facebook, was a notice, like paper stapled to, you know, whatever in your neighborhood, posts and polls, of giving away $100 to the best Wookiee impression. Call this number and leave your best Wookiee. And it was the number.
Oh, the number
ex.
Of the person
and,
that was the
oh
ex.
Oh, my gosh. I think that is just a fantastic prank.
That would be great.
All right. Well, Picard time. I'm just going to roast it from the sidelines.
All right. That's fine. Well, and, you know, if you want to get better at your Wookiee, you can see Return of the Jedi on the big screen again starting in April 28th, which I'm super excited about. And so I will be going to the theaters to see that. But
yes,
Micah, we have 2 episodes left after this last episode of Picard.
It feels like they're really
And Mike has got his
microphone
turned off.
Feels like they're really trying to rush the ending here.
That, and I'm trying to figure out how many more things about Star Wars can they steal for Star Trek?
Well, as you know now, writers nowadays aren't very creative, so they have to, you know, just use Jack Crusher as magic.
Yeah.
Because he's magic now.
Well, he can use the Force.
Yeah, he can use the Force to take over people's bodies or
control them, see through them, everything. Yeah.
As soon as he makes his eyes red, he makes their eyes red, mm-hmm. and then he takes over them and becomes the hero. He's basically a Mary Sue, a Jim Bob.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to call him. He's a Jim Bob.
And you know, I just continue to get a little bit frustrated that it's like
not Star Trek.
It's not Star Trek, and you're right. And I think the more that I've watched, the more that I'm coming to learn that. And again, I was like, you got to be kidding me. So Jack Crusher is going to come on to the bridge, give himself up, and then I'm like waiting for a droid somewhere in the corner to go, oh no, he's got a thermal detonator. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Have you noticed how the computer had to have the computer voice explain it to us? Unknown device. I'm like, gee.
I know. Are you kidding me? It's like, whatever. I was so funny when I was watching it with Kelly. And I'm like, oh, he's got a thermal detonator. She's like, how do you know what that is? I'm like, everybody knows what that is. You have a shiny metal object that beeps red. You know it's going to blow up.
They subverted our expectations. It's actually, you know, shielding.
But it also does that. So it was designed to look like a thermal detonator. And then they reused it to stick them to the floor so they could suck them out the airlock.
Yeah, really, really dumb. And you can tell, if you watch the latest Star Trek J.J. Abrams verse, they stole the death of the bad guy from that movie for the death of
Think they actually stole that from
many other movies.
Alien back in the 70s. I mean, that's how she got rid of the alien.
The special effects look the same. Really dumb.
Yeah. I just was like, and
I started playing chess in the middle of it. I'm like, oh, okay, I better start playing chess before I get angry.
Yeah, it was, I just am struggling with it. And you know, it's like we've got all these characters that we're trying to bring back together. We're trying to build this relationship to. And, you know, the dialogue is clunky. It's long. It's arduous. It's like, who would talk like that? And Captain Shaw is the only intriguing, interesting character of the entire series.
I wish I could disagree with you, but I kind of agree with you.
Yeah,
I mean, my God, what have they done to Worf? It's like the person who wrote this has never seen an episode of The Next Generation or Deep Space Nine, and is like, Worf is a tough guy. You know what? I'm going to make Worf some antisocial dude now. Like, what is with the line, I've killed a lot of people, and I thought about sending their heads to you, but I was told that would be antisocial.
No, it would be passive-aggressive.
He's been with humans. He was adopted by humans.
I know. I
okay, turn my mic off.
I'm so glad that you did that.
Did I just hear what
you did, yes. And those of you who didn't hear it on the radio, let me just tell you that that's why we have a mute button, and that's why we're very thankful for able to do that. But
that's what I hear.
I agree. And I'm struggling with the whole concept that now all of a sudden Vadic is not the biggest enemy that we have to worry about for the next two episodes. It's now going to be Jack and the red door and whatever's behind it.
What's with the magic red door?
I don't know.
By the way, Counselor Troy, Deanna Troy does not have that power. She does not have that power. She's half human. I don't know any Betazoid who has that power. But when did she get that power?
The power to emote with him?
Yeah, to like walk him through his mind.
Well, I think...
What the bloody hell?
I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to show where Jack's power is combining with her abilities in order to bring her there in that moment. But again, I'm still like, it is way too arduous. It feels too convoluted. It feels too conscripted. It's just, we are working way too hard to do the things that every Star Trek episode kind of does. And even the whole element with Data and Lore.
I actually understood that.
Yeah.
I knew what was happening, and I still thought that was done pretty right.
Well, and I think conceptually it was.
Yeah.
But,
the special effects were really dumb.
Well, and the way that Laura is so overly, you know, just arrogant and everything about that.
That is Laura.
Maybe that was just more of him, so.
Laura's always been arrogant. He's always been kind of the opposite of Data.
And I will give Brent Spiner a ton of credit for his acting in this series, because he plays two different characters in the same body physically so amazingly well. You know by his stature who he's playing before he says a word, before he looks. Just the way he holds his presence is really good. And so, you know, mad props to Brent Spiner for his acting in that regard. But yeah, overall. And then, not to get you more worked up, Micah, but
I'm going
to
turn off my mic.
Okay. But what is with all of a sudden now the Titan becoming the most powerful ship in the region and able to shoot four torpedoes at the Shrike and take it down after the Shrike was literally told when we first met it was a formidable warship and there was no way that they could stand toe-to-toe with it. And now they're able to shoot four torpedoes at it and blow it up and blow it to smithereens?
Well, I'm guessing Worf killed everybody who was on the ship or whatever.
Did Worf go bad?
That was my guess. I think he killed everybody, just a guess.
Well, no, because remember, as they got off the ship, he said, "Your absence has been notified. We need to leave now." And they take the cloaked ship.
Oh, right.
And they leave so that there's still a bunch of people. And I can't believe that that ship is manned by a dozen crew. I mean, there's got to be more than a couple dozen of the changelings running around there. So it's like, come on. I'm having a harder and harder time liking the show. And I'm finding myself falling more and more into your camp of going, yeah, this is just not great Star Trek.
Yeah, as I've said many times, this is very surface. It's not really Star Trek. It's Star Wars. If it was Star Wars and less stupid, I should say, if it was less stupid, it could pass as Star Wars.
Wow.
Let's go for Star Wars. Better stuff here.
Almost every Star Wars show is better than this.
Oh my gosh, you heard it here first. Micah complimented Star Wars over Star Trek. What a monumental day.
I'm just glad you guys stuck around to hear that, because I don't think I would be able to get anybody to believe
it. If you want Star Trek, I'll point out stuff. We gotta go.
All right. See you next week, Nerdians. Y'all stay nerdy. Thanks, Swader, for being a guest on today's show.
Live long and prosper.